Tonight, we just want to just do a little recap of Sunday morning's message. We talked about being doers of God's word. Amen. So, Father, right now, we thank you so much for this time that we have together. We look to you, for you are the teacher. Precious Holy Spirit, minister to each and every heart tonight. We give you praise, Lord, for all that you have done, all that you are doing, and all that you shall do in our lives. You are our great high priest, our advocate, our intercessor, our shepherd, and our great mediator between God and man. And we honor you tonight in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, in James chapter 1 and verse 22, I bet you all know what James 1:22 says. Well, if you don't, it's going to be there on the screen. It says, but be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. Now, that's quite a thought right there. The enemy doesn't even need to deceive people that don't do the word. They've already deceived themselves. You know, it's very possible to have a form of godliness but deny the power thereof. It's very possible to sit in church for decades and hear the word and never do the word. And the word of God will do you no good as long as you're just a hearer of the word. But if you're a doer of the word of God, the rain can come, the floods can come, and it can beat upon your house. But oh, thank God, it's not going to shake you. Amen. Why? Because your heart and your mind and your feet are established on solid ground. The rock of revelation knowledge. Amen? Yes. So be doers of the word of God and not hearers only. Now notice with me in verse 23, it says, for if any man be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he's like a man beholding his natural face in a glass or in a mirror or in the word of God. For he beholds himself and goes his way and straightway forgets what manner of man he was. Now that word forgetteth there means neglecting. Now I've discovered this. If I am going to purpose in my heart not to neglect the word, I've got to keep his word before me night and day. That's what Joshua 1:8 says. He said, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written therein. And then he goes on to say, for then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. Everyone wants results. Everyone wants good success. Yes. Now, one of the major keys to that is meditating in God's word day and night. And you'll discover that the word meditate not only means to ponder and to think on, but the word meditate also means to utter or to talk to yourself. That's what Rotherham's translation says. Thou shalt talk to thyself. How many of you know ourselves need some talking to? Yes. Amen. And so in order not to forget of who we are in Christ and what manner of man that Christ has made us to be, we must not neglect it. And I've discovered that the number way for me not to neglect the word is to speak the word. I mean, speak God's word every day. Say what God's word says about you. Jesus said, you can have what you say. If you believe it in your heart and you say it with your mouth. So I want to encourage all of you to get Charles Capp's little book called God's Creative Power and just keep that by your bedstand or keep that by your devotional time and pick it up and just start declaring the word of God. And you'll discover that when you declare the word of God will paint a picture of your victory. Amen. Amen? And we discovered last Sunday morning that we are in the victory seat. We're not in the defeat seat. We're seated with Jesus in heavenly places, far above all principality and power, might and dominion, and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come. Amen? You're in the victory seat. And I was reminded of this verse of Scripture in 1 John 5:4 when we were worshiping the Lord. It says this, for whatsoever is born of God. Well, if you're a born-again Christian, you're born of God. Whatsoever is born of God, notice this, overcometh the world. Amen. Are there some things in the world that we need to stand against? Are there some things in the world that we need to keep the heel of our foot on? Amen. Amen. Certainly there are. Demonic spirits, all sorts of different things. But notice what the rest of the verse says, and this is the victory. And this is the victory. This is not the defeat, but this is the victory that overcomes the world. The key to you overcoming the world on a consistent basis that God has placed on the inside of you. It's called the God kind of faith. Oh, say with me, I have the measure of the God kind of faith. And so when we function and we operate in the God kind of faith by believing and speaking and acting and keeping our heart and mind on Him, we're going to walk in overcoming victory. We are going to walk in victory over the world, over the flesh, and over the devil. Amen. Oh, glory to God. So we're not just hearers of the Word of God around here at Heart of the Bay. What are we? We're doers. Say it with me, I'm a doer. I am a doer. I'm a doer of the Word of God. In verse 25 in the ESV, it says this, but the one who looks into the perfect law, the law of liberty, and perseveres. In other words, he stays with it, or he continues with it. Being no hearer who forgets, but a doer who acts, he will be blessed in his doing. And so our premise Sunday morning was this, that faith without corresponding actions is dead. Faith without corresponding actions will not produce results. And I've already stated this, but I'm going to state it again. One of the greatest actions of our faith is by speaking God's word. I also shared this in Romans 10:17, where it says, so then faith cometh by hearing, and what? Hearing by the word of God. Now, I love what Nancy Dufresne says about this, and I quote, she says this, faith comes by hearing, but faith doesn't operate by hearing. And then she went on to say, faith isn't released by hearing, it is released by speaking. And so I understand then that faith is motion activated. Somebody said many years ago, I remember the first time when I went into an airport bathroom where the water faucets were and where the all that stuff was, and it was motion activated. He said this, I stood there looking for a handle or a pedal, something to turn the water on. He said, I could not understand for the life of me how the faucet worked. And he went on to say, while I stood there trying to figure this out, a man walked into the restroom, waved his hand under the water faucet, and immediately the water began to come out. And he said to himself, I've just seen a miracle. And then the man nonchalantly, same man, walked over to the towel dispenser, that's the word I was thinking about, and began waving his hand under it in the same manner, and the towels came out. And then he said, all of a sudden, I got a revelation. I saw a sign on the wall. Equipment is motion activated. Yeah. Well, it's the same thing true about faith. Say it with me, faith is motion activated. Yeah. Would you agree with me tonight that salvation is here? Yeah. Healing is here. Yeah. Miracles are here. Yeah. Deliverance is here. Yeah. Just waiting for someone to act in faith. And I submit to you, when you come to services like Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night, while you're praising, while Pastor Tom and the gang are doing such a good job, lead us in praising, I submit to you, while you're praising, rejoicing, and dancing around, the waters starts coming. See, one act of faith will open the door to the supernatural. It'll cause the glory of God to come in. And that's what we desire. That's what our hearts are after. For in His presence there is joy. In His presence there is healing. In His presence there's encouragement. In His presence there is lifting. Amen? How many of you have ever come to church and you needed a little lift? Woo, glory to God. Well, activate your faith. Amen. In John chapter 11, verse 40, Jesus said this, if you would believe, you'd see the glory of God. He'd see the glory of God. He also said this, that all things are possible to him that believeth. I heard a real funny story the other day. It's a story of a guy on television. He was being interviewed, and he said he wrote the first novel which contained no verbs.
What?
And the name of that book is The Train to Nowhere. The Train to Nowhere. He's a French guy. I don't know if it was a joke or whatever the case may be, but it was 233 pages without one verb. And the interviewer asked him, well, how are the books selling? He said, not very well. And when he asked him, why aren't they selling? He simply said, because there's no action. Well, how many of you know the word believe is a verb, and the verb always denotes action? Effective faith, faith that gets results, must be translated into action. Amen? And I think sometimes there's too many nouns and too many adverbs and too many things like that in the church. God's looking for a church that's alive.
Yes.
And I believe that when he looks at Heart of the Bay Christian Center, he knows he can move here because it's alive. And the people in this place are alive. Glory to God. Then we got a church full of verbs.
Yes.
Amen and amen. So the other thing that we said on Sunday morning is this. When we act on his word, his power is released or his power is activated. In other words, it is set in motion. Now, one person that we looked at was the woman with the issue of blood. Remember her? She was sick for 12 years. Nothing better, but rather grew worse. But when she heard of Jesus, she came in the press behind and touched his garment.
Amen.
For she said, if I may just touch his clothes, I shall be whole.
Yes.
And she touched the hem of his garment. And straightway, Jesus, knowing in himself that virtue had gone out of him, turned about in the press and said, who touched my clothes? And his disciples said, look at all the people around you thronging thee. And how can you say who touched your clothes? Jesus said, I know somebody touched me. It was not the touch of curiosity, but it was the touch of faith.
Amen.
And then the woman, knowing what happened in her body, because she was completely healed of her plague, she fell down before him and told him all the truth. And Jesus said unto her, daughter, your faith has made you whole. Amen?
Amen.
Glory to God. So we understand then that the power that was in Jesus was activated by her faith. Amen. Now, I want to look at another one tonight. Are you okay with that?
Yes.
Look at Luke chapter 17, if you would. And we see the example of the 10 lepers. And we begin in verse 11. It says, and it came to pass, as he went to Jerusalem, that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. Okay? And as he entered into a certain village, there met him 10 men that were lepers, which stood afar off. A debilitating disease. And they lifted up their voices and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. Verse 14. And when he saw them, he said unto them, go show yourself unto the priest. A leper was to go show themselves to the priest so that the priest could call him clean so that he could go back in public. And Jesus said, go show yourself to the priest. And it came to pass, and here's the key words, as they went. As they went. As they moved, God moved.
Yes.
And as you move, God will move.
Yes.
Amen?
Yes.
Let's not wait for God to move before we move. Understand this, that God has already moved.
Yes.
Amen? And so basically, it's our move. And so the Bible says, as they went. In other words, as they activated, as they believed what Jesus said, they were cleansed. Woo, glory to God. In their going, they got their healing. And of course, you know the rest of the story, don't you? And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back with a loud voice. And what did he do? You know, it's a good thing to glorify God as you have gone and God has met you. Amen. We should always give God all the glory. Let's do that for a few seconds tonight. Let's just lift up our hands and give him glory. We glorify you tonight. We glorify you. We magnify your holy name. Glory to God. Woo, hallelujah. Has he done great things for you? And verse 16 says, he fell on his face at his feet, giving him thanks, and he was a Samaritan. And Jesus answered and said, where were there not 10 cleansed, but where are the 9? How many of you know Jesus is looking for the 9? He said, these are not found that return to give God glory, to give glory to God, except this stranger. Verse 19, read it with me. He said, arise, go thy way, thy faith has made thee whole. A couple of things here about his faith making him whole. He had to go when the master said go. But then he also attached praise and attached glory to when the manifestation happened in his life. And so those other 9, he didn't say, you're whole. Now, they were healed, but I believe that this leper got whole to the degree that there was no sign that he ever had leprosy before. Amen? Amen. Glory to God. And so give God the glory. Be a doer of God's word and let God meet you right where you are at. Amen? Amen. Glory to God. And so understand this, and we see another example of our faith activating his power when it comes to provision. Remember we read Luke chapter 5 on Sunday morning? Yes. Well, let's just go over it again. Luke the 5th chapter. Luke the 5th chapter. Amen? Glory to God. It says in verse, well, actually, let's look at something else. Let's look at another activation for healing. Luke chapter 5, verse 17. Luke chapter 5, verse 17. And it came to pass on a certain day as he was teaching that there were Pharisees and doctors of the law sitting by, which were come out of every town of Galilee and Judea and Jerusalem, and the power of the Lord was present to do what?
To heal them.
The power of the Lord was present to heal them, every one of them. And behold, men brought a man in a bed, a man which was taken with palsy, and they sought means to bring him in and to lay him before him. And when they could not find by what way they might bring him in because of the multitude, they went up upon the housetop, and they led him down through the tiling with the couch into the midst before Jesus. Woo, glory to God. I preached years ago, they had some roof-ripping faith.
Yeah.
Amen?
Amen?
It's interesting to me that the doctors of the law and the Pharisees, those that were reasoning and wondering about all these things, none of them got healed, even though the power of the Lord was present to heal them. Amen? See, reason repels God's glory. Religion repels the manifest presence of God. You can be in a church like this and every chair full on a Sunday morning or comfortably full. And I'm telling you what, you've got people that are just, whoo, they're just receiving, 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 and their needs are being met. Then there's other people that are like this. They're kind of looking around, trying to figure whether or not this is real or not. See, reasoning repels presence. Reasoning repels power. Amen? But faith activates it. Faith invites it. Faith receives it. Amen? And so let's get this man healed here. Notice with me. It led him down in the couch into the midst before Jesus. And when he saw their what? When he saw their what? The question I have for you tonight is, can faith be seen?
Yes.
How is faith seen? Faith is seen by actions. Yes. And so he saw their faith and he said to them, man, thy sins are forgiven thee. And the scribes and the Pharisees began to reason, saying, "Who is this which speaketh blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God alone?" But when Jesus perceived their thoughts, he answered and said to them, "Why reason you in your hearts? Whether it is easy to say, 'Thy sins be forgiven thee,' or to say, 'Rise up and walk.'" Jesus is saying, it makes no difference to me. The same power that saves from sin is the same power that will heal that man of the palsy. Woo, glory. Verse 24 and verse 25, read it with me. "But that you may know that the Son of Man has power upon earth to forgive sins, he said unto the sick of the palsy, 'I say unto you, arise, take up thy couch, and go into thine house.'" He had one more thing to do, didn't he? You know that those four crazy friends that brought him through the roof had faith. But you also got to know the guy that had palsy had some faith. Amen. And so faith was activated. But then Jesus gave the word and he said, "Now here's what I want you to do. Take up your couch and get going." Notice verse 25. Read it with me. "And immediately he rose up before them and took up that whereon he lie, and he departed to his own house, belly aching and sad." No, thank God. He departed into his own house, glorifying God. Woo, glory to God. One touch from the Master can change a person's life just like that. One touch from the Master can remove arthritis out of people's bodies. One touch from the Master, woo, glory to God, will set your feet a dancing. Amen. Now, how many of you have ever heard of these other four lepers? And this now is a provisional miracle. How many of you know God does provisional miracles?
Yes, he does.
And your faith will activate those provisional miracles. Absolutely, they will.
Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah.
Just like we read Sunday morning. Jesus told them to launch out into the deep and let their nets down for a draught. Amen?
Yes.
And when he had this done, they enclosed in their nets a multitude of fishes. They had to get other people from other boats to bring their nets, and their nets started breaking. They had a ship sinking, net breaking, breakthrough, fish dinner that night. Glory to God. Now, in closing, I want you to look over at 2 Kings, if you would. 2 Kings chapter 7. Glory.
Glory.
Hallelujah.
Glory.
Thank you, Lord. I thank God for his faith.
Yes.
I don't think that I would make it through life without faith.
No.
Would you?
No.
I'm just so thankful that when everything looks bad, when everything looks like it'll never happen, when everything looks like it'll never come to pass, we can rely on the faith that he's put on the inside of us. Amen? And we understand that things don't happen overnight, right? We know that there's a fight of faith that we all fight. But oh, thank God, if you'll just hold fast. If you just hold fast to the confession of your faith, if you will just keep fighting the good fight of faith and not give up, you will make it through whatever you're going through. Glory to God. He didn't say there would never be any valleys. He didn't say that there would never be any tests. But he said, "I've given you the victory. I've given you the unction. I've given you the ability to go through the valley of the shadow of death. I've given you the ability to go through to the other side of the test and the storms of life." Isn't that good? Ooh, I'm thanking God for that.
Amen.
Amen. I can give you testimony after testimony after testimony how that it didn't look like it would ever happen, but God has already always come through. I said God's always come through. And you know that lines up with 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14. Thanks be unto God, which always causes us to triumph. Now, I think the problem with a lot of people in church is they don't know the first thing about real faith. I'm not saying in here. But I think the real problem is people really don't take seriously the message of faith and the importance of faith and how vital it is that we live by faith and that we walk by faith. and that we think by faith, and that we speak by faith. The just shall live. They shall conduct their lives. They'll do it by faith. And I think sometimes in churches, it just kind of goes over people's head. And they think in terms of faith as, you know, well, I grew up, you know, Catholic, or I grew up Protestant. That was my faith. No, that's not what real faith is. Faith, real faith, it is the substance of things hoped for. Real faith is the evidence of things not seen. Real faith will put food on your table. Real faith will change your body. Real faith will deliver you from drug addiction. Real faith will deliver you from depression. Amen. And so somebody says, well, why in the world do you guys teach and preach so much on faith? Because we live by it. We speak by it. We quench every fiery dart of the wicked one with the shield of faith. Come on, somebody. We please God with our faith. I'm getting stirred up. And I hope you're getting stirred up. I'm more stirred up now than I ever have been about faith-filled words. Because I know that faith-filled words will dominate the laws of sin and death. And sin and death is all around us. Fear and death is all around us. But oh, thank God, it's not in us. Amen. What's in us is greater than sin and death that's all around us. What's in us is much greater than the weapons that are formed against us. What is in you is precious. What is in you is awesome. What is in you is great. Hallelujah. Woo! Glory to God. And it's the victory. It's the victory. When they say it can't be done in the Bay Area, we just say, you just hide and watch. Because we got a company of believers here that can do all things through Christ, which strengthens us. Woo, glory to God. When they say, you'll never pay it off, you'll never pay it off, I see these three words in my spirit, paid in full. The price has been paid. The purchase has been paid. And we're just processing it right now with our faith. We believe that we receive, and we take it with our faith. In the name of Jesus. Woo, glory to God. Glory to God. But somebody says, I've had some faith failures. Hey, everyone has failed. But Jesus said, I prayed for you that your faith fail not. And when you are converted, go and strengthen your brethren. Don't let a bad experience keep you out. Don't let someone else's bad experience, whether it be in your family or whether it be a close friend, don't let it discourage you. We don't know everything. We don't understand the whys of everything. But what we know for sure is that God is good. We know for sure that God is faithful. We know for sure that God is still on the throne. Woo, glory to God. I'm getting stirred up. I'm more stirred up now about faith-filled words than I've ever have been. I'm telling you what, I'll get up in the morning and I'll just start speaking God's word. And as I speak God's word, my spirit gets built up. But the other thing I've discovered, Caleb, is this, is when I speak God's word, it encourages me. It really does. It just encourages my spirit. It builds me up. That's what Acts 20:32 says. The word of God says, his word is able to build you up and to give you an inheritance among all those who have been sanctified. Amen? So let the word of God build you up. Let the word of God build you up. Let the word of God, as you speak it, build you up. Let the word of God encourage you. Amen. Do we all need encouragement? Absolutely. But you know what? If I wait on you to encourage me, I might be waiting a long time. No, I don't mean it like that. What I mean is this, just like David encouraged himself in the Lord, we need to take the responsibility to encourage ourselves in the Lord. And I am very encouraged by you. I don't mean that wrong. Just let's reverse that. Amen. Amen. You got to learn how to encourage yourself. And it's like Brenda did a great job in the offering, don't you think? I think she's the best offering taker upper in the city of Hayward, next to Pastor Tom. Amen. Praise the Lord. Let's pray. Let's take a praise break just for a moment. Glory to God. Amen. Glory to God. Woo! Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Yeah, that's what it was. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. I believe I'm looking at a bunch of sons and daughters here today of consolation. What do you mean a son and a daughter of consolation? Barnabas, according to the Bible, was a son of consolation.
Yeah.
You know what that means? He was a son of encouragement. Barnabas's ministry was to encourage others, but I will guarantee you, Barnabas could not encourage others unless he was first encouraged.
True.
And so I believe that it is one of our ministries here at Heart of the Bay to be an encouragement. Amen?
Amen.
To be a son, to be a daughter of consolation, to pray for one another, to lift one another, and to believe God with one another. Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, we're almost out of time, but I'm going to continue for a minute. Is that all right? We'll not take a vote on that. 2 Kings 7, then Elisha said, hear ye the word of the Lord. Verse 1, thus says the Lord, tomorrow about this time shall a measure of fine flour be sold for a shekel and two measures of barley for a shekel in the gate of Samaria. Then a lord on whose hand of the king leaned answered the man of God, behold, if the Lord would make windows in heaven, might this thing be? And he said, behold, it's thou shalt see it with thine eyes, but you ain't going to eat of it.
That's right.
And there were four leprous men at the entering in of the gate, and they said to one another, why sit here until we die? Now, these guys were experiencing living death, right? Because of the leprosy. But they had a conversation among one another. Why sit here till we die? Amen? Well, let's not keep doing the same thing. Let's not keep waiting on God and saying it's all up to Him. Amen? Let's get moving. You see, faith that does nothing is worth nothing. Verse 4. If we say we will enter the city, then the famine is in the city, and we'll die there. If we sit here, we die also. Now therefore come, and let us fall into the host of the Syrians. If they save us alive, we're going to live. And if they kill us, hey, we'll die. So it didn't sound to me like they had any fear, did it?
No.
How many of you know that faith and fear don't work together?
That's right.
Absolutely not. So they said, well, let's get up and go. They got up. And they moved. Everyone say they got up.
They got up.
And they moved.
Amen.
In other words, they were going to do something about their current situation. It's required for movement. Amen? And verse 5, they rose in the twilight to go to the camp of the Syrians. And when they were coming to the uttermost part of the camp of Syria, behold, there was no man there. Don't you know they were bracing themselves? But there wasn't anybody there. Notice what the Lord did. See, obviously, when they moved, God moved.
Yes.
Say, when they moved, God moved.
When I move,
God moves.
When we move,
God moves.
Verse
6, for the Lord had made the host of the Syrians to hear a noise of chariots and a noise of horses, even the noise of a great host. And they said to one another, lo, the king of Israel hath hired against us the kings of the Hittites and the kings of the Egyptians to come upon us. Wow. Verse 7. Wherefore they arose and fled in the twilight and left their tents and their horses and their asses, even the camp as it was, and fled for their life. And when these lepers came to the uttermost part of the camp, they went into one tent and did eat and drink and carried silver and gold and raiment, went and hid it and came again and entered into another tent and carried it also and went and hid it and ate and drank, picked up the Rolexes, picked it up the gold, picked up all the goods. Can you see that they had a miracle? Your miracle is waiting for you. Your miracle is waiting for you to move. Say to me, it happened when they got up. God got up. Woo-hoo-hoo. Glory to God. Verse 9, Then they said to one another, we're not doing so good. This day is a good day of good tidings, and we hold our peace. If we tarry here the morning light, some mischief will come upon us. Now therefore come, that we may go tell the king's whole household. Amen. So God worked these lepers. Amen. They knew what they had. They had to share it with others. I said they knew what they had. What happened for them, you got to share it with others. How many of you know what's happened to you? You got to share it with others. You got to tell of the goodness of God. You got to tell your mamas and your papas and your in-laws and your outlaws. Yeah. You got to let people know just how good God has been to you.